Oh, but if you're anticipating a celebration as the countdown just did for us, welcome to Debatable, a celebration of fake television where we debate nothing, Dominique. Stop being a hater. I do. I do. Like, surprise! Surprise!
No, it's different. I like chaos because surprises are still a script because somebody's behind it. I prefer when the truly random thing happens. So Pablo likes a countdown. I like it when a car just crashes through the living room. That's when I feel most alive.
All right.
That's what Dominique Foxworth is, a curmudgeon.
So to be clear, Dominique wants to be the driver of the car, not the person watching someone drive the car into your living room. He wants to be the guy now sitting in your living room, holding the steering
Neither,
wheel,
yeah.
smoking a cigarette. No?
Speaking of chaos.
Yeah.
Okay, so first things first, Dominique, I need you to refresh and unmute yourself so the audience can hear you because you're giving fire takes right now. And second of all,
Question before you go to second of all, does anybody else, when you hear someone say first things first, automatically go to I Papa freaks
I'm
all the
the.
honey? Right?
Oh, I was
No?
gonna go. No, I was gonna go first things first. I'm the greatest, right?
Yes, agreed.
This is a two America
Yeah.
situation. Every
Yeah,
time
the realest. This is
since
old person,
the
young person thing.
yeah. So you're with me? No, Charlie, you're a young person. You're not with me?
That's right.
Ever
young
since the
person.
90s, anytime, no matter where I'm at, someone says first things first, I finish the lyric in my head.
Wow.
All right, I'm
I'm the
sorry, Charlie.
realest was the
It's all
the
good.
lyric I meant to quote. Alabaster said, to be clear here, Dominique
I
Foxworth,
feel like
guy
I'm
who
too
likes
far away.
watching a car crash, is currently literally watching a car crash because his
Yeah.
camera and his tech barely
I
works,
like that.
and he has also caused the car crash in question.
I just felt too far away. I felt small.
And then the second, can I give my second thing? Best countdown? Buzzer beaters. To bring us back to sports a tiny bit, but that's all
Ooh.
essentially. You watch that clock tick down, and you've got Mike Breen counting down to an imminent bang. Incredible. An incredible countdown and buzzer beater.
What about if a llama moseyed onto court in that process? So much better. Like,
Per
that's
perfection.
chaos. That's chaos. I would
Yeah.
love 4, 3, 2. Butler puts up the shot in what the f like that's
That's why the play Stanford Cal is like the greatest
Oh,
football play of all time,
exactly. That was a good
because
one.
there's like literally a countdown on the clock and then the band is on the field. Love it.
Yeah. Yelling bang after a llama appears on the court. A little morbid, I suppose, given what you would do if an animal suddenly appeared on the court and you had to take care of it.
Don't have to kill an animal when it appears on the court. What?
You're telling me if a llama randomly
It's
started.
not a tiger. It's a
A llama's a
llama.
bit of
Oh, you need to
you, it'll
respect
co it'll
llamas.
cooperate. It'll cooperate.
Yeah, they
Okay,
might
I know we
spit a
have to
little
talk about
bit.
the NBA
That's
finals,
fine.
But let me
We
just tell
got
you.
mop guys on the sideline. It'll be okay. Clean up the spit,
Yeah,
lead the llama back to the locker room or wherever the llama
it'll
came
be fine. Maybe you get bit with some flat teeth. That's the worst that can
Exactly.
happen to you.
Just a bunch of gigantic molars. They got molars in the front too. No canines on
Here's a
llamas.
take. Being torn apart by flat teeth, worse than being torn apart by sharp teeth.
Please
I'll
ask
go
the
with that.
question.
I'll go
Ask the
with that. Yeah.
Thank
question.
you.
Pablo Pablo has
Spencer.
gone too
Thank you,
far, as
Spencer.
always.
Yeah, this is a real, a butter knife versus butcher knife debate here, but let's get to the
Exactly.
NBA
And butter
finals.
knife is worse. Yes, please continue.
Let's get to the NBA finals. And my question is, what do you expect from game one of the
I
NBA
like
finals
that. That's
tomorrow night?
better.
Ooh, game one of the NBA. I'm excited for
Llama
this,
on the
like
court.
unironically excited for the llama, literal or figurative, to appear on the court, for chaos to emerge. Like, the one thing I've learned from this NBA postseason is to not be definitive about what you think is going to happen. And so the fact that the Warriors have won their three game ones this postseason by an average of 14 points per game, you may think that that is a good reason to pick them in game one. I don't have any confidence that anything I say is going to hold true. So how about you guys go?
Spencer, please.
I think that I would be watching one thing. I'll be watching to see how efficient Draymond Green is. That's it. Like if Draymond's tight and it's clean, then the Warriors, I think, can adjust and still thrive. given what Boston is capable of doing defensively.
What does Draymond Green efficiency look like? Because I feel like we talk about efficiency, we talk about good shots and bad shots. So Draymond takes no shots. So efficient Draymond is like properly getting a good nut punch, setting good screens, like taking charges.
Staying in the game. Staying in the game. Like, honestly, that's the most important thing here. Is for Draymond Green to stay in the game.
It kind of is. It kind of is. You know, I mean,
I'm being a little insane, but not totally insane.
Right. I think I'm most looking forward to the post game show that we're gonna do since the game starts at 9. It's going to be 9 o'clock Eastern. We're gonna be doing a post game show that is hopped up on tequila and caffeine. I can speak for myself. Dominique? I don't know what Pablo's going to put in his blood to make sure he's entertaining. But
Diet Mountain Dew. I just bought it. Diet Mountain Dew. I went to the store.
It does seem against the entire mission statement of Mountain Dew, right?
Like, when I think diet, maybe I'm being a little bit, I don't know, like sexist or like ageist, but I think like middle-aged woman orders like diet drink. When I think Mountain Dew,
or man,
I think 21-year-old man jumps out of plane.
I feel like there is possibly alabaster contradiction in trying to do the do, but not all of the do in question. Yeah.
Hey, DMD will get you jacked up. I think it turned mice's insides, trend like a neon green in a study a while ago. But anyway, back to the basketball.
Nice. Just like mammals.
My question,
they are mammals,
I think, is interesting about this. What do you expect? Because this is rest versus rust. This is established finals team versus first time really in the dance. And the analytics numbers, the 538s, the BPIs say
they
the Celtics are going to win this
Celtics.
Game. But then my heart, my eyeballs believe in this Warriors dynasty reignited. And so, I think that's an interesting conflict.
The numbers have biases too. And I believe that the numbers picked the Celtics when it was unlikely that the Celtics going to win the championship. They picked the Celtics before the tournament even started. So now the numbers are attached to their old take. The numbers don't want to let go of their old take. You got to let go numbers because
the
these are not the same
Celtics. Some costed their takes.
Yeah, these are not the same Celtics. So last week I picked the Celtics, or I guess on whatever, last time we did this show, which was yesterday. But anyway, I picked the Celtics and then I went on Get Up and they asked me who I wanted and I picked Golden State just because I didn't realize my choice of the Celtics was largely based on how good they are defensively. And I've been denigrating the Warriors defense. And I actually looked at these numbers and them good too.
Oh, it's like, oh, they're the second best defense.
It's not second best by a huge margin either. It's like by 0.1 point or something, or a point and a half. It's like they are comparable defenses, at least in the playoffs.
By the way, all of the vacillating is not just, you know, rank irresponsibility as a sports taker. It's actually kind of the most honest representation of how anybody should be feeling about the finals. So Vegas has the Warriors as a 60% favorite. That's not huge. And that's also factoring in like the public money, which is all flowing in a supermajority onto Golden State. And so the idea of like, I want to find out how a Celtics team that has never played in an NBA finals goes into one of the toughest buildings to play in against a team that has been in 6 of the last 8 of them against Steph bleeping Curry. Like, yeah, I do expect the human element, Dominique, to your point, to do something that the numbers can't adequately capture, which is the level of, I guess the analytic term would be poopy pants. You know, like how much poopy pants you're going to get.
Well, yeah, to that, Pablo, when you have the number one and number two defensive teams, okay, well, how do they stack up offensively? Because every team will lose the handle on another team defensively for stretches of the game. There will be runs. There will be points where you go, hey, we're really out of sorts defensively, and they're absolutely, you know, the bank's open. They're taking whatever they want. When that happens, which team's going to be able to take bigger bites out of the other? That's Golden State.
Yeah.
Golden State's going to, like, when you lose track of them, when you lose handle on them, their bursts are terrifying. Like, they are almost classic warrior type bursts.
The challenging thing, well, this year we've talked about throughout all the playoffs, this seems like an important stat that Alabaster is waving about. Steph Curry shoots 29% from the field.
Marcus Smart.
Yeah, don't do that. I've heard this rolled out there. Stop it. There's no Steph Curry stopper. Marcus Smart certainly ain't the guy, especially on a gimpy ankle. But the point I was going to make is, have we ever had a more unpredictable playoffs, like, in the history, or at least in recent history, of the NBA? Because at least there's normally one team. There's only two teams, right, that we know are going to get to the finals, and we have a good feeling of the team that's going to win. I don't think anybody was, like, definitive about either of these teams making it to the finals. So it feels a little stupid for us to try to be definitive about who's going to win when none of us thought either of these teams outside of the fan bases in 538.
I was going to say, fan base,
who did the nerds choose on the West? I'm sure they didn't choose Golden State, but none of us knew that this finals was going to be here. So it feels stupid for us all to be like, yes, all the analysis I used to get this wrong, I'm now going to use it to get it right. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you know you're going to get? That's my question. What do you know you're going to get? Because I know we're going to get this. We'll get two games where both teams, thanks to defense, are just throwing balls off the backboard, right? Like, let's just get us a finals game where both teams shoot like 32% from the field. Yeah, we'll get like one or two of those for sure.
I don't know who, sorry, Pablo, I'm sure you're about to say something really insightful.
No, I was just going to point out that I just remember there's an iron hanging behind me.
Oh, yeah. Nah, don't forget the iron. We should name the iron. It's been here all week.
I'm going to call it Alex Jones because Spencer pointed out earlier that it looks like I'm an InfoWars broadcaster.
Can we just call the iron Alex, please? Can we leave the last name off? Or just call it Jones? Like, I don't think we need to be putting those two names together. Especially we're on Twitter. You can't put those names together on Twitter.
We'll get shadow banned.
We'll get shadow banned.
Pablo's coming to us from the steam room.
Yes, I'm glad you persevered to get that in. It was worth it because Pablo was talking over you like a jerk. No, Alabaster, we don't need you to steer us back. I'm going to steer us back. Chill out. So one of the more difficult things about making this prediction is the paths for both of these teams were a bit wonky. So, like, yes, we can go back to the regular season sample size, but it's hard for me to know what Golden State is because they beat the Mavs, who I'm not sure were good enough to be there, especially by the way that they gave them the gentleman sweep. The Mavs were Luka and a lot of other people that occasionally partied. To use Jason Kidd's words, they occasionally partied and occasionally didn't. You would think if your head coach spells his last name with two D's, you would be able to play better D than they did.
Wow. And then, was that a kid in play double level entendre that Dominique just broke out?
And then if you're going to look at the Grizzlies, they knocked up the Grizzlies without their best player, which maybe made them better sometimes. So I don't really quite know.
I'm sorry. We need to acknowledge what Dominique just did there. You said if your head coach has a last name is Kidd with two D's, you play better defense, better D.
If we were together, we could jump over our own feet simultaneously.
Can you still do that?
Do you think you could still do that?
I would never try.
Of cancel culture anymore.
I would never try. That would be an absolute injury. And to go back to the other side, to the Eastern Conference, their path was interesting also. Like a Middleton, they struggled against a Middleton-less Bucks, and then they had the Heat, who are great on defense, so I'm not sure how good or bad the Celtics are offensively. But the Heat, whose half-court offense, I could say was poopy pants.
I was going to say speculative.
I like that. I was going to go with not Eastern Conference final quality, but speculative says that in a more efficient way. That's why you're a writer, and I just talk.
It's the Heat. The way you describe their half-court offense is this. Will there be a shot? Who can say? Who can say? Will it go in? Also a mystery. Life is full of mysteries.
Will Oladipo shoot two air balls in one possession?
That's right.
Likely.
Perhaps.
Can you shoot a shot that should not count as a shot by tracking technology because it is so far off the basket.
And then immediately, put another one up. Shouts out to Victor Oladipo.
Just a legend.
Shoot.
Just two looping passes.
Yeah.
So, oh, Alabaster, I think what you're trying to get us to give you is some sort of a pick here. And we have given you everything but that, including a name of the iron behind me, Alex. But I do think that I'm picking the Warriors in game one. I'm picking the Warriors in seven. But I do that with none of the confidence available because the Celtics defense is special. I don't know who you hunt on the Celtics defense, right? You do the exercise. Who's the best defender? Who's the worst defender in the starting lineup? There's an argument that smart
player of
people
year.
Make. Yes, that is an argument that smart. I mean, talk about puns that smart people make. Literally, that Marcus Smart's the worst. And Grant Williams is better, and Al Horford's better, and Jason Tatum is better, and Jaylen Brown is more useful, right? And Rob Williams, when healthy, is better. Like, yeah, that's an actual thing. So good luck. But
let's go.
Steph Curry, in Steph Curry, I trust, I think, is my
bottom line. Can I go? Which is a weird thing to say for someone who has three titles and no MVPs, but I get your point.
Don't do that.
Can I go super. Super crazy.
Are we credential checking Steph Curry? Did we just do that?
It's not
Did
a credential
you just
check.
Demand to see a certificate with an embossed seal of some
I
sort
do
when
not.
Talking about Steph Curry?
Steph Curry has all the seals and all the embossing. He is the boss of all bosses. My point is that if you want it to find a particular part of the season where Steph Curry could get some criticism, like I feel like, and maybe this is just from I can tell Pablo's looking up stats. I can see that's a stat face you got there. What you got for me?
I got the truth, Dominique. Right. I got the truth.
Give me the truth, Alex.
No, the truth is that when this is the thing that Draymond Green and Kevin Durant were just arguing about on Twitter.
Right.
How many double teams did Steph Curry get in the NBA Finals that sprung Kevin Durant to those two consecutive Finals MVPs? Dominic.
Yeah, that's more appropriate. Now you got to sell some supplements. Is the next move.
Exactly. But lose all your fortune in a libel case.
I think commanding double teams is something that all like top players do, but also the greatest of all times also dominate in those situations. They play basketball differently in Golden State, which I don't think means that we should argue against Steph Curry. You are not going to put me in the position as the one person who's argued against Steph Curry. I just said that in all the people that you can trust in, it's ironic that you chose Steph Curry, because I think you could have said the Warriors. Feels less ironic, but I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
I mean, look at it this way, though. You might get Jordan Poole Finals MVP. That is a possible storyline here.
Absolutely is.
By the way, Alabaster, if the Celtics do nothing else but hunt Jordan Poole to prevent him from being the guy that ends up undoing them offensively by exploiting them defensively, that seems like a pretty good start, right? Just go after that dude. Because as good as he is, Spencer, offensively, he is I'm about to quote the weakest link. I almost said you are the weakest link. Goodbye. I apologize.
You were going to say goodbye? You didn't have to say goodbye.
Like the host.
Where's he going?
Know?
I know, but I mean, it's just a reach at this point.
To the bench.
Now Alex Jones is hosting the weakest.
Your chef, this has gone
I got a few things for you guys. First one, the iron, Alex Baster, that was just sitting there. Sitting there as a show joke.
Yes. Touche.
Second thing, I want to zoom out because you guys began to touch on this, and I think this is an interesting sort of facet of how we're going to perceive this series looking back on it when it's done. And that is, who is more to gain with the championship this year? Because there are storylines on both teams with that. And the reason I say that is because of the Kevin Durant of it all for the Warriors. And for the Celtics, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are a really unlikely champion just from a narrative star power perspective.
Hold on.
Can I
jump in and get in the producer bag with you? Who has more to gain or more to lose? Because then you can throw Durant and Kyrie in this conversation along with Tatum and Curry. I'm sorry. Maybe it's overproducing. I don't know.
No, go. That was great.
No.
Oh, you're asking if Alabaster objects to an opportunity to trash Kevin Durant.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Or the Dallas Cowboys. Now that's how you produce on ESPN, baby. Lakers.
You know what? There is an argument that if the Golden State Warriors mm-hmm. win the title, they will be astride the sports news cycle in ways that must frustrate Jerry Jones. So Jerry Jones has lots to lose.
I mean, I think the answer is Steph to me. Well, yeah, I think the answer. I think the answer is Steph. Because I did not think he would ever win another championship or get to the finals, honestly. He's proven me wrong. This team has proven me wrong. The one thing, whether it's fair or not, the point that I was not making, but only merely putting it out there as a point that other people make, is that mm-hmm. that is a hole in his resume. And when you get to the top of comparing these top guys, fewer holes, the better. He has a chance to fill
Spencer.
A hole.
Spencer, Dominique is trying to give us stochastic takes.
Oh,
he's not responsible mm-hmm. for the he take. Is. He's merely inspiring others to possibly take the take and then terrorize us with it.
This is.
I didn't yell fire in a crowded theater. I just thought it was a good idea to tell someone else.
Now
to do that.
We're doing First Amendment takes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The people demand.
You're damn right we are.
So, before we cancel Dominique for this take, I will say this. I think he's right. I think that on a timeline, you go, okay, the Celtics are still a growing and burgeoning right. sort of thing that could continue to succeed. Whereas Steph doesn't have as much time, man. You don't. I think the legacy's secure. Everyone, you know, like, are we going to think differently if they lose in seven? I don't think so. I really don't. Does Boston have more time? Yeah. Yeah, I think this is definitely like the Warriors are working with less of a budget.
I guess
schedule-wise.
Steph also has something to lose if he wins. Because right now, Steph gets to be in this great place where we just talk about him as being great and we don't put him into Jordan, LeBron level territory. He wins as many titles as LeBron and has been to the finals a bunch of times and gets an MVP. Then we're doing LeBron, Steph. And I can't imagine that he wants to be a part of that all throughout the summer. We're having LeBron, Steph. When Stephen A. takes vacation, I'm going to be up there yelling about, well, but LeBron did so much more with less. he doesn't want that.
The other thing, I mean, it is, I guess the real honest way to analyze this question, Alabaster, is to do it through the lens of First Take. And so, like, who's going to be humiliated more on television if they lose? There are actually, I have come around on this, like Steph. So right now, Steph is 3-2 in the NBA Finals, right? Two of those wins of the three were with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
There is an argument that someone's going to make that Steph Curry is one. I mean, he has a losing record in the NBA Finals right. if he loses this NBA Finals,
yeah.
which would be a phenomenal turn of events.
Okay, me as a KD water carrier, as you guys have said, like mm-hmm. that is maybe a hat that I wear on occasion. If I put that hat on, I need Steph Curry to miss a couple game winners. Like I need Steph Curry to miss some closing daggers to put this away. And the way that it's still seared in my memory when Durant walked down and pulled from just inside the sticker in front of LeBron in the finals and drilled it. Like those, I think that's what, because KD, obviously he doesn't care. Because he told us he didn't care by mm-hmm. showing us that he cared.
That's right.
That's how yep. he showed us he didn't
Number
care.
Number one thing you don't care right. about so, is not
because
care.
we're casuals.
So all of us. As the water carrier, Katie's the lawyer, I feel like that's what I want to happen so that you can then come out and say, see, they needed KD to close these games.
Wait, Spencer, Dominique wants Mike Breen to start to say bang and then – to mm-hmm. stop because
Boing,
it
you gotta
rims
change
out.
The Boing. You go, bang! Bong!
Also, to counter that, to just Riverside Bank. That whole line of thinking, if Boing. Steph manages to do something like a former G Leaguer, Jordan Poole, the MVP,
yeah,
that to me, that's the other side of this entire argument. If he does something ridiculous, like get a player, like, If we get, I don't know, if you get something ridiculous like Steph willing, I'm trying to think of the most ridiculous person on the Warriors. Give me a name. The most ridiculous person he could get
Looney?
To be MVP.
Otto Come Porter on, Jr.
Otto Porter.
Yeah, if we get, yeah, if we
I
get
was
Otto
trying to be
Porter
realistic.
MVP. right? Or Kevon Looney. If we get that as either. MVP, yeah. right? If Steph just wills that to happen with his giant basketball brain, that would be the greatest tribute to his talents as somebody who, yeah, as I've said, makes everybody better around
but
him everywhere.
Counterpoint, Spencer. I mean, this is again the judo move that I think a veteran take yeah. artist would do right. is,
that's
oh, wait,
that's Steph.
Steph's a system player.
Yeah, it's a strike against Steph. That's a strike against Steph. Yeah, it's like whoever we put in the system is going to prevail. We don't know who it's going to be. It may be Steph Curry. It may be Iggy. Who knows? But it could be anybody. All right, here we go.
I'm surprised to see someone in the steam room, someone speaking truth to power, all right? Someone willing to take on the Illuminati of basketball, caving to worship of management and coaching.
Basketball
you just came
Illuminati.
Down, you're like, system player, it's all about Steve Kerr.
Pretty good
some revolutionary you are.
Illuminati, Illuminati, Illuminati. You got to say it three times. That's what I hear from Amina Hassan. But
good podcast.
We have to go over to the Celtics for a little bit and talk Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum has a lot to gain because he has the opportunity to fast track this whole media narrative that we put guys through. We normally go, wow, that's he's true. Awesome. He's awesome. We love him. Ooh, he's stepped up to superstar status. And then we say, do it in the finals. Like what this is supposed to happen this way. He's supposed to lose this round. And then next year, he's supposed to lose again. And then we are supposed to spend the season saying, can Jason Tatum win the big one? If he wins the big one right now, he is saving himself a lot of anguish for the next couple of seasons. Because he's skipped it. He skipped some steps.
No, the question really that we're asking is, as people who gasbag about sports on television, who should we hope loses? And you're right, Jason Tatum. We want him to lose because if he loses, we have so many more years to ring out of his course.
To put him over. This is wrestling, right? We need to go ahead and have him lose so we can put him over next year or in 2 years when he finally
and we have the Steph versus LeBron. Like, we got so many more years because Steph versus LeBron is not a real conversation right
it's
now.
Back though, it's back if he wins, you're right.
If he wins and is dominant, then we got Steph versus LeBron. So for the sake of Stephen A. Smith, who represents all of us obviously,
yeah.
for the sake of Stephen A. Smith and everyone in the sports talk industry, Steph, you got to do it. We got to fill these airwaves with something.
Yeah.
Also, I have one more thing. I'm really in for a 7-game series as long as we get a lot of Boston crowd shots. Just a bunch of Sullys, a bunch of Dennises, right out there, all wearing the jersey as grown men. Right?
I am in Massachusetts right now. Spoiler alert, this closet, my steam room is in Massachusetts. I was walking around yesterday, saw a dude. Full white beard, long white hair, Celtics cap, Larry Bird jersey. And I was like, you guys are not, this is not a, it's not a joke.
I gotta be honest with you. So like coming up, we were taught, and I don't know, I can speak for myself, but like I was raised in a basketball atmosphere where we were not allowed to like the Celtics and what they represent. My son is rooting for the Celtics. One of his closer friends moved here recently from Massachusetts, and my son's rooting for the Celtics. And I'm like, why are you rooting for the Celtics? And then he was like, why not? And so then I looked at the court, I looked at the coach, and I was like, look at the crowd, son. Look at the crowd. You look at the crowd. One of my best friends I grew up with lives in Boston for a long time, and he is now a Celtics fan, and he's also an African-American studies major. Or not major, he's a professor. And I'm like, they pooped in his bed, Brandon. They pooped in his bed.
Listen, it's just I just want to see a lot of really, really amped Connors. A lot of Connors, a lot of Patricks out there.
Oh, poopy God. Bed. Poopy bed, as Bill Russell experienced it. Yeah, poopy bed.
You don't have to explain it. It was an inside one for people who know basketball. Everyone else is just like, what is he talking about? You and I are going to have this fight at some point where
I know.
You feel the
on,
need
I,
to be a host.
I keep on footnoting. I keep on footnoting. Alabaster's trying to.
And don't talk about for the podcast audience.
Oh, for the podcast audience, Alabaster's put down a card that says, let's
get on
keep
the YouTube. Don't explain the jokes. If you drown, you drown. Oh, well. Survival of the fittest out here.
To recap, Alabaster, Dominique pro bang, Declan pro boing.
Yep.
Yep. Declan is a name that was probably in the crowd there also. We need to rename my son. We need
Let's
to
take
go
a hard pivot
him.
To two guys who I think are probably rooting for the Celtics, and that's Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. And
that's
are you guys getting tired of their beef?
No.
They might be rooting for the Warriors, actually. I feel like the Warriors – I'm sorry. Go ahead. I need to sort this out. You figure this out while I sort
You sort this out. I'm not tired of it because it's June, and it's a college football story, so this is all we're getting. Like everything else that can happen in June to a college football program is generally bad. This is two really well-paid guys Steve having a low-stakes argument. That's it. I am totally in favor of the two of them arguing, especially as I do not think either of them have the personal or social skills to really iron this out, as both of them have immense egos and have been thinking about X's and O's for a combined century between them. So, yeah, when Saban says, I have no problem with Jimbo at all. That's his record talking. Because he's probably thinking, he's like, go check the record. Go look at my record against him. He's only won once.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. I was doing the calculus. I'm sure you did a great job. And
what were your findings?
They're rooting for the Celtics because I started thinking about it. And the way they play team basketball at Golden State, I think they would like that. And the way that it feels as though there's no player empowerment there, I think they would like that organizational structure. So I was moving in that direction. And then I was like, oh, Steve Kerr, great coach at the top. Steve Kerr's a little too outspoken about social issues. Take
some down a notch. Listen, I can't speak for Jimbo. You'd be surprised with Nick.
I knew that. And so I said, I think it takes him down a bit. But then, hold on, Pablo. Then the smoking gun, Draymond. I was a little on the fence because Draymond he was a football player, or he played football, because that tape is not good at Michigan State. But Draymond's general attitude, I feel like neither of them really want that on their roster.
And Pablo's going to try to be host here. I'm going to go ahead and hijack this and read it in the appropriate voice. Saban Acute said that Texas A&M bought every player in their recruiting class, the number one recruiting class that topped Alabama's number two recruiting class. This was Jimbo Fisher's previous response to Saban in a admittedly mediocre but enthusiastic Jimbo Fisher voice. Some people think they're God. Go dig in how God did his deal, and you may find out a lot about things you don't want to know. That's actually kind of slow.
No, but exactly. A little more Diet Mountain Dew, but you're really right there. You're really right there in terms of just the energy level here. My question really, I mean, Spencer, because the card that Alabaster was trying to put down before, which was Saban talking about how he has no problem. He has no problem with Jimbo, despite the fact that he said 2 weeks before that, you know, Texas A&M bought every player on their team. What is Nick Saban doing here? Is he like trying to spin his way out of this? Is he actually playing chess? Like, because I'm in on the soap opera. I love it. Free beef. Love it. But what actually is the story that Saban is trying to tell here?
Saban was, one, trying to get his boosters to beef up their NIL capacity. Right. Because that, per Lane Kiffin, all right, not my words, per Lane Kiffin, fellow SEC coach, that's going to be, you know, front and center to recruiting, which is the lifeblood of every college football program. So that gesture, that remark was prompting Alabama to be like, pony up. We are in an arms race.
And Spencer, this is news to me. Alabama hasn't ponied up enough. Like, they're losing the arms race right now.
This is what you don't understand about Nick Saban. If he had a $100 million NIL fund working to recruit Alabama, he would want a $200 million fund. Oh, if it was two, he'd want four.
That's a little Joe Lacob, Dominique. That's a little Joe Lacob. A little light year is from Nick Saban there, actually.
Yeah. So point being, Nick Saban himself, this is a quote, you know, I may not be the best coach in the world, but no one will ever out-recruit me. No, that is his MO. So if there is a facet of it, remember when remember when he said, is this what we want football to be regarding spread formations and passing first
football?
Oh, yeah.
He's all in now.
Oh, this is Nick protesting it. No, it was a warning. Yes. Nick was going to do it. He was going to do it better.
Yep.
And they went out and hired Lane Kiffin, and they went out and modernized that offense. And now you have Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks coming from a university where handing off used to be moves one and two. And then on third down, you ran a draw. Like, that used to be Alabama football.
It's hilarious to see how he's managed to evolve a number of different times. And you're right. He's not upset. He's just asking a question like, oh, this is what we doing now? Okay.
Yeah.
Because, like, the knock on Alabama for the longest time was, like, they can't recruit quarterbacks. Now they just getting Heismans, got Heisman finalists, got first round picks after first round picks, waiting on other first round picks. And he's like, yeah, oh, this is what we doing now? All right, we gotta pony up, get more ponies. If you want more pony, if you want to pony up, do you have to get your pony to stand up, or do you have to produce more ponies?
Produce more ponies.
Okay. We're gonna need more ponies. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a literal horsepower argument, but yeah, we need more in the tank. That's exactly what this is about. The personal thing, I mean, that just feels like it was careless. It was a rare moment of loss of message control for Nick Saban. Because Nick is one of those guys who, the closest person I can compare him to is Ahab and Moby Dick, who when he's talking to the deckhands, he's like, "Ah, you lubbers!" And then when he's talking to the narrator, he's like, "Forsooth," and doing all of this Shakespeare. Like, he can speak to whatever audience he needs to speak to, okay? Which is what a lot of good coaches can do. And
sounds like somebody I know. who's talking right now and has perhaps a very big beard and Malcolm X glasses.
Yep. I'd never thought of them as that. Yeah, baby. But yeah, that's who he's speaking to. And I think it was just, he's generally real control with what he says. And I think that just got out because, yeah, he's irked that somebody beat him at something. Let's not make it any like more complex than that. Someone beat him on the field last year in a wild game, and then someone beat him at recruiting. He's ticked. He's a competitor, right? They are all competitors.
Nick complaining about someone paying for paying for a recruiting class as if he does it differently. Like, it brings to mind some really uncomfortable slavery jokes that I would like to make, but I'm not going to make them because I'm going to save my near firing responses. Wait. Dustin Johnson.
I was going to say, Dominique, please borrow Spencer's glasses and make those jokes. But maybe we'll just, do it here, Alabama.
It's like saying, they got the best plantation. They paid for all of theirs. I went and stole them just like you're supposed to and didn't pay them a dime. Like, get the f*** out of here. It's just foolishness. This whole system is a mess. And like the idea that anyone can complain about, and to Spencer's point, I don't think he's complaining because he has a moral objection to it, because he's one of the coaches back when Dabo was talking his most greasy a couple years ago. Nick was one of the coaches that was like, yeah, pay him. It's fine with me. So I don't think it's a moral obligation, but it's a ridiculous place to plant your flag as like opposed to it. Like, there is a right way to exploit them. Like, nah. He is exploiting them by paying them through other for-profit industries. We exploit them in the classic way. Like, get out of here. It's just stupid.
I should also point out, Jimbo got angry at the accusation of cheating, which cheating in his mind would be paying the players, which was this wild, uncomfortable thing happening during his entire comments. Because you go, well, wouldn't the right thing to do be paying the player? Okay, Jimbo. Okay.
So I guess the last question here is, like, SEC Media Days is July, right, Spencer?
Is this here in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia? Yes,
exactly right. Is this going to escalate? Like, is that going to be circled on all of our calendars? Should we return to this?
Oh no!
Or what's going to
happen? No! We're all genteel now. We're nobody's going to make any comments. No.
Oh, no.
Commissioner's gotten involved.
I hate that.
This might, you know, this became an out front thing. Remember, we have to keep gentlemen.
Yeah, it's true.
We must all keep our phony baloney jobs. We must all keep everything on the table. So
that's disappointing. It bled out into the media. It became house husbands of the deep South, and then they're going to back away and try to tighten up their ties. Like, oh no, that's not us. After they just finished throwing drinks at each other. That's the worst. Keep throwing drinks. Escalate. Pull his hair.
Well, keep in mind, someone did get served papers once at SEC Media Day, so anything can happen.
Wait, a coach. Is this a thing we should Google later, or is this a footnote
Phil
that we can explain?
Phil Fulmer got served papers at SEC Media Days one year.
Amazing.
Yeah,
what kind of papers?
In a lawsuit concerning a recruiting scandal. It's real hard to explain. Okay, all you need to know.
One day.
Dude got served.
One day deep in the summer when we have nothing to talk about Alabaster, we're going to do story time with Spencer. Because Spencer has a wealth of stories that happened and are hilarious, and I don't even know about them. And I just want to sit here and laugh with Spencer.
We're going to do a dramatic reading of both Moby Dick and that lawsuit served to Phil Fulmer.
Pablo, way to take a good idea and make it incredibly boring for the viewers.
Did you notice how I was trying to speed by that?
Just like, Harvard
in the house! I'm sorry. Have y'all never read Moby Dick? It's
don't say
awesome.
Y'all. It doesn't sound right coming from you. It doesn't sound right coming out of your voice. What's that show? What's that show where the guys had long beards, like reality show, and they were like...
Duck Dynasty.
Yes.
Duck Dynasty.
Okay. So the combination of Malcolm X glasses and Duck Dynasty beard is just... It's like this peanut butter and chocolate. Like, you didn't know they went together. Or in Pablo's case, it's ice cream and balsamic vinegar, right? You didn't know they
goddamn
go together.
Right.
But it's just masterful. I love
spilled
it.
Spilled on my computer. I have to clean my keyboard manually. I feel mad about
that. Don't explain it. If they weren't here for that episode, then they should have been here. Don't explain it, Pablo.
That's right. Keep up. Keep up. Going.
All right, guys. Let's hop to Dustin Johnson for a bit.
Now this is
interesting, you know, in the shadow of everything that happened with Phil Mickelson. Dustin Johnson has entered the LIV Golf Invitational in Saudi Arabia. How do you see things unfolding from here with Dustin and the PGA Tour?
Okay, number one, Dustin Johnson needs to start calling this. I'm going to live. What do you mean, LIV? What are you talking about? I'm going to live. No further syllables. No further follow-up questions about this. I'm going to live. What do you mean? This is not a thing I should do because this is sort of washed in blood money? What?
Yeah, it was uncomfortable reading that story while also having Liv Nightclub in Miami in the back of my head. It was like, it's not that Liv. It's a different Liv. Spencer, what
in fact,
think
they're kind of anti-Liv-ing in Saudi Arabia if you're the wrong type of person.
Yeah. So you should know this, that when it comes to why is Dustin Johnson doing this? 100, 150 mil on the line in terms of money. Why are other golfers doing this? Because the golfer who finishes last at these tourneys is going to get 140K. The golfer who finishes last is going to get $140,000. All right. So when you have these other guys, when you have Sergio Garcia, Kevin Na, when you have Louis Oosthuizen, and when you have Dustin Johnson, they're going to get paid. And that is the sole motivator for any of this. And this kind of, you know, this kind of sports washing, which is what a term for a government like Saudi Arabia sponsoring a sport. It's happened in so many other sports that like our outrage about it, right? Which I think is entirely justified in a lot of ways. To somebody like living in London who sees this, they're like, go look at who owns EPL teams.
Yeah.
You know, this makes us somewhat unique that we have an issue with this. It's also interesting because in golf right now, what are they going to do to Dustin Johnson? Really, the PGA's ability to restrain what he does career-wise is going to result in the real winners from all of this, which billable hours, lawyers, because this is going to result in a bunch of lawsuits because the PGA could be accused if they don't let him play in some of these of restricting his ability to work. Right. So that's inevitably
that's the one.
Lawyers are going to come into this.
That's the one. So I would like to start with we're punishing the wrong person. It's like, of the people or entities that are affiliated with despicable regimes, the dude who wants to hit golf balls for $100 million is, like, to me, at the bottom of the list. He's famous, and we can all look at him and say, like, no, you shouldn't associate with that, which is fine. I'm completely fine with us as a culture stepping up and saying, no, we aren't going to support this. We discourage him from doing that. But the problem is, and this is where my union background comes into play, is everything is a Trojan horse whether you want to believe it or not, they're all Trojan horses.
And you're damn right.
You can have, thank you, you can have a Pollyanna-ish view of all of this and believe that no, the PGA Tour doesn't want him to play in this tournament because the PGA Tour has some moral objection. That ain't it. If he went mm-hmm. and played at, I don't know, if there was a Autism Speaks tournament that was paying him hundreds of millions of dollars, but it was taking him away from PGA Tour events, they would try to use this to stop him. This is about, to me, this is about collective action. This is what this is about. And that's what, frankly, just about everything where the little man, and I know Dustin Johnson is not the little man in most categories, but he's the little man in this particular category. And this is how you end up losing in these ways, because you find an opportunity like this where it's easy to say, no, you should not be affiliated with this. And I think he's right. He should not be affiliated with this tournament. But the problem is, once you set this precedent and you accept this as a way that they can behave, they can then wield this sword against any other player, which they are not employees. They're independent contractors. If they would collect themselves into a union, they would be able to defend themselves, and Dustin Johnson wouldn't be out there alone. And that's part of the reason why I left the work of the union, is because you only have fights. The only fights that rise to this level are the ones where you are in the wrong. And you have to fight it anyway, because the principle that underlines it is right. And the principle that underlines this is he should be able to play in a tournament anywhere, no matter who is putting it on, if he wants to, if the PGA Tour is not going to meet their collective needs and demands. To me, it feels unfair to have a monopsony. Sorry, Pablo, I know you got words to say, but I let you start. And I let Spencer go second because I knew I was going to ramble. But if you have effectively a monopsony, which means that there is nowhere else within this country that he can go and play, then it is not fair for you to then stop him from going somewhere else. Like, we've seen competitive leagues in the NFL in the past, and those were stomped out. The only reason why the NFL allows to exist now as a true monopsony and also monopoly is because the existence of the union, because the belief is that the union has comparable power, which they don't, but the belief is that they have comparable power so they can negotiate for the collective rights of the players. The golfers do not have a union, so they do not have that. So you guys are not allowed, and I'm not a labor lawyer, but my position would be you're not allowed to then step in and say that he can't go play elsewhere.
So
yeah, by the way, one thing on this. Dustin Johnson's head has just got a big old golf ball inside of it. I'm sure he asked somebody who knew it.
And another thing. No, Pablo, and another thing.
Oh, come on.
The Autism Speaks example was probably a bad one because it would be a one-off tournament.
A charitable event.
Yeah. The question is if it was a competitive league. The point I was making is that they don't want competition. It's not about they care about Jamal Khashoggi. They care about any other of these major issues that it's fine for them to care about. They care about competition. They care about money. They care about controlling the most important and the only indispensable asset that they have is the golfers. And I know that their golfers make lots of money and they're all rich and white and men and they live in this society that is separate from the rest of us, but it is very much similar in construct, not in dollars, but in construct. It's very much similar to like Amazon employees or anyone else when a big powerful thing takes over and controls and tries to control the actions of the people that contribute to it. Go ahead.
You're really going to box me out. Okay, go ahead.
No, we'll pause the clock for a second. I just need to do a tiny bit of cleanup.
Yeah, clean it up.
And no, it's just that the PGA Tour is not forbidding him from this event, and we know that because he's playing it. It's a deterrent. Right. They're saying as our private league, mm-hmm. as the PGA Tour, we're just don't
they're
want you back
to.
If you're yeah. Right. But it's an attempted deterrent that's not working. They're not forbidding him from playing in this. That's an important distinction.
Right. My position is just, and this is not fair, it's probably an assumption, is my assumption is having been on the other side of these issues for both the NFL and the NBA players, my assumption is that the general public is on the PGA Tour side because Ooh. On the other side of this is...
Well, this is kind of...
autocratic... Like,
well, but this is okay. So a couple of things I realized while listening to Spencer and then Dominique talk, right? And then Alabaster with that clarification about permission, which is an important legal one. Number one, Dominique just did something that is fascinating. He talked about the importance of a union and then explained why he no longer is working for unions, because there is an inherent fatalism as to, like, this is not a game we can win, even if we do the best thing available to us, which is organize. Number two, though, is that Phil Mickelson should have hired Dominique to be his defense attorney. Because seriously, like, that is the argument that Phil Mickelson should have made, which is, this is not about Saudi Arabia. This is about a larger fight. But instead, Phil Mickelson said so many of the quiet parts. Well,
I was
going to
say, he did say that. It's just he kept going.
He did. He was like, the PGA is not monetizing NFTs. They're not letting us use our image and likeness in the way that we could. They need to be better and more pro player. But then he explained that the reason that Saudi Arabia, despite murdering gay people, despite murdering journalists, et cetera, the reason why it's worth it is because, yes, of this larger fight for the power of golfers. And I think the thing that is going to determine whether the public cares about this, that's the question we just landed on, right? Like, who's going to root for Dustin Johnson or the other side of this argument in the PGA Tour? What Dustin Johnson has fundamentally done with that golf ball brain is kind of established, like, I don't think people are going to care very long. Right. Like, the Phil Mickelson story was kind of the test. Yeah. It got quiet enough.
Phil's lurking. Like,
oh, no, exactly.
Johnson, yeah,
exactly.
Like, he will come out on the LIV Tour at one point. All right, not immediately, because things are still a little bit hot.
No, Spencer.
But he's an asset, and they're going to want to use it.
He's going to live. Yeah.
Phil Mickelson didn't say or didn't emphasize the part I was emphasizing, because Phil Mickelson doesn't care about that. Like, it didn't come to his brain. He was like, I'll throw this out there, see if this bites. But what he actually cared about was himself in that situation, would be my guess. The same
thing. He wanted more money.
Yeah,
not in conflict.
He had some home budgeting issues.
Well, that's an important part of this, is that Phil Mickelson was reportedly in gambling debt and might have lost $40 million from gambling, whereas Dustin Johnson has a net worth of $200 million from himself and from being married to Paulina Gretzky. Like, this is a different situation.
Yeah, it's completely unnecessary, but whatever. That's another conversation. I think what I am worried about in this case, and, like, I'm not going to lose any sleep over what happens to golfers' leverage, but I think they should be, as someone who's gone through this a number of different times, I see how this happens and I see how your power gets eroded. And generally, the athletes in these sports have less power than the leagues, and then it continues to get eroded, in part because the people who are looking to defend Dustin Johnson are the people doing false equivalencies, which is not helping. Like, yes, they oppress women, and yes, so do we. But saying so do we is not a real defense comparing the United States to the Saudi government. I think the more important thing is the underlying principle. Like, the reason why, if you have someone on tape committing a crime, you still have to have a trial and they still have to have representation, is because the process matters. And the process matters, and the principles that underline that process matters. And that's all I'm talking about. I could care less about Liv or about these individual golfers as much as I care about, like, players' rights. Is one of the few careers that I've spent enough time in to have, like, legitimate interest in. And it upsets me when I see this, and then everyone teams up on the side of the leagues. Like, no, get your ass back in line.
Yeah, well, there's one logistical question, too, that's interesting here, that the PGA Tour and its four majors are separate, right, for the most part. That you could play in this tour, the LIV Tour, and you then theoretically play in some, if not all, of the majors, depending on how they react to all of this, right? Well, my other larger point is this: it's become harder and harder to get away from sports washing if you're a fan. If you're an F1 fan, completely. It's all over it. If you're an EPL fan, it's all over it. If you're a golf fan, it just became a big deal.
I mean, if you're an NBA fan, this is the whole China conversation. Yeah. Like, I mean, again, mm-hmm. this is the mud now we're just swimming around in, which we can all get fired on a moment's notice. But this is exactly why it's so easy to talk about China and hypocrisy.
I mean, we've been swimming in this mud since the history of sports. Like, we're at a point now where we want to talk about it and put it out there. And, like, another reason why I hate the false equivalencies, and also, I mean, there's sometimes legitimate equivalencies, is, like, where do you end up then? It's like, you have to be morally pure. Like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We got it. Don't ever compare owners. Yeah. Don't ever compare owners.
It is completely okay to pick up your moral sword on occasions that you feel comfortable, and it is fine. And when somebody is just be aware, for whatever foolishness you're associated with, that you got to step back and be like, yeah, you're right. My bad. I'm gonna try to do better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad we ironed all of that out.
Such a great show, just ruined at the end. Ooh. You know that movies, like they say that the ending of the movie, you can have a terrible movie, but the ending's great. We just did the opposite. Are you making iron noises?
Get in there! Get in there, Pablo!
I'm steaming the mic in the steam room! I'm steaming...